We've come now to, no,
I wonder where that was.
There we are. We have come to the portion of the talk where we're going to, Michelle Turgeon is going to talk about managing anemia management, a topic which I have never heard discussed. But when we talk about outcomes and we talk about people working together, that's really where the rubber meets the road. Michelle is from Gambro. She's a regional director at Gambro. She graduated from Widener University in Pennsylvania, took a job as a social worker at Gambro, and within a year was promoted to regional director. She's got her hands full in that job, and she's going to give you her perspective on anemia management as a manager. Michelle.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wyk. I appreciate that. Hello, everyone. I'm very excited to be here. This is a great opportunity for me to be here. And I want to assure everybody, you know, I know I'm a social worker, and a lot of people think, well, what are you actually going to talk to us about? I mean, I'm not a nurse and, you know, didn't go to medical school or didn't go to nursing school. But I hope that in this presentation, you'll find some information useful on what worked for us to be successful in anemia management. As Dr. Van Wyk said, I've been in, you know, have a master's degree in social work. I've been with Gambro Healthcare for 3 years, started as a social worker, I've been a regional director for 2 years. And my interest in taking a management position was to really focus on being a part of a team and to building a solid team. Also to be able to make decisions and to problem solve and be a part of a team to make sound decisions for our patients. And also, we're also driven by our outcomes. We want to be successful to, you know, help our patients and just meet our goals and our targets. And again, you know, I cover seven hemo clinics. I have 6 acute programs I cover, and I also have 2 PD programs that are under my supervision. My area, my territory is in Western South Carolina, and I have 2 clinics in Augusta, Georgia. And my responsibilities, my main job duties, are patient outcomes, business outcomes, and really running a efficient organization to meet, you know, state and federal regulations. And I'm sure with most of you can attest to our goal as for Gambro is to get patients sub-11s below 18%. And we don't have an actual target goal for ferritins, but, you know, our goal is to keep them below 800. That way we can, you know, keep them from, you know, having infections or certain other processes. And this is just a little example of the region in my area where I cover, and this just zooms in on, you know, it's a rural area. We have predominantly African-American patients. You know, we've got, you know, my clinics are mostly smaller size clinics. I do have one larger clinic with over 120 hemo, and we have about 20 PD patients. In my area, I know it varies from what company you work for, what area you're in, but for my area, my center directors are the anemia managers. There may be a charge nurse who's a backup or another nurse, but predominantly my center directors are in charge of the anemia management. And that works out well for us because our physicians pretty much stay out of it, which is beneficial to us. I know a lot of times you can have physicians that, you know, can really be more conservative in the way they dose. They don't look at trends. And so I'm happy to say that our physicians pretty much leave it up to us. You know, we may have care plans to discuss problem patients or concerns where, you know, we're not sure what to do. But pretty much the nurses and the center directors do the anemia management. This year, Gambro Healthcare did instill a position called outcome directors, and they have been a huge plus to us. They are another, you know, set of eyes that help us put focus and attention to the anemia management. They're also RNs in that field. So, you know, when doing anemia management, we always say, well, you know, there's always so many factors on why, you know, we can't get the results we want, because I know everybody works hard to get, you know, at least 18% sub-11. I mean, that is our goal. But you hear all these excuses, and these are lists. I'm sure there's a myriad of others that you can think of. But for us, we found time. I mean, who's got time when, you know, my CDs are working the floor, filling and staffing, you know, trying to, you know, work with state regulations, round with physicians. So time was an issue for us. Also making sure that you adjust in a timely manner. You know, when you get your labs back, are you making doses, you know, a day or two when you get the results, or because of time, are you waiting a week, 2 weeks, or more? And that's important. Also, protocols. You know, do you have any in place? If you do, are they aggressive? Are they efficient? You know, for us, with Gambra, we've had, throughout the 2 years I've been there, several revisions on a protocol. We've gotten a new one this year for anemia, and it's also just about being revised right now. Also, you know, with staff turnover, how efficient are your anemia managers? Do you have high turnover? What training do you have? You know, do they attend AMI 1 and 2 classes at Amgen, you know, they put on? Also with our physicians, you know, there are a few physicians we still have that have a few patients that will override a decision, be a little bit more conservative, not really, you know, let the CD and the anemia manager make those decisions. Also, documentation. You know, a lot of times we've got patients whose hemoglobins are above 13 or are really low and need a mega dose. You know, we found that, you know, sometimes we might be missing the proper documentation to get reimbursed, so that was an issue. And also managing patients who are hospitalized. I think that is probably a major concern for us. You know, sending a patient to the hospital with a hemoglobin of 11 or 12 and they come back with a hemoglobin of 9 or 10 and having that issue. And hearing those concerns from my CDs, I said, okay, well, we're going to do this. We're going to, you know, try to get good results. And so I number one said, you know, I'm not really big on some of the excuses I just mentioned. You know, I think there are reasons that you could have some difficulty with anemia, but if you have continuously poor results month after month, I just wasn't going to buy that. I think that there might be other issues on why. The timely manner, dosing appropriately, things like that. So I said, let's just cut out the excuses and get at what the problem is. Also, my philosophy was, you know, I'm not a nurse. I don't make the changes. You know, let me, you know, instill and empower my center directors, my anemia managers, so they can believe in themselves that they know the knowledge and they can do it. Because a lot of times we don't give enough praise and credit, saying, you know, you're doing a great job, keep it up, I see you thinking outside the box, this is fantastic. Things like that that motivated them, I wanted to hold that as a part of my philosophy. As well as, you know, I'm here today to represent my area, but I've, you know, praised my center to say, it's all of you guys of why I'm here. You know, I'm just one piece of that puzzle. And this is just going to be some clinic examples here. This is one of my clinics that has 42 patients in rural South Carolina. This is a steady clinic, not much turnover with staff, I'm happy to say. And this just shows pretty much a steady, you know, sub-11. There was, in March of last year, we came up with a new protocol. It was, you know, going more to a maintenance dose of iron, a little bit of change in how we dose the epigen. And so we did spike up in 2003, but for a year and a half, she's been, except for 2 months, below 20% sub-11. Just, you know, just shows excellent focus and attention. Another great clinic, same thing with, you know, rural, low staff turnover. For a year and a half, she's had 20% of her patients below a ferritin of 20%. You know, it's greater than 800. And we think of, you know, well, how can this clinic be successful knowing they've got those challenges, you know, the don't have enough time, hospitalization. So this just gives an example that it can be done with focus and attention. And so with that, we said, you know, what are we going to do for 2003 to continue, you know, to make changes, to be successful? And we said, let's just continue to put focus. You know, make the time, put focus, schedule it, delegate other tasks if you have to. Again, implement the protocols that come up with Gambra Healthcare and adapt them if we need to. And one thing that we did differently than not a lot of people had done before was we actually got our pharmaceutical companies and pharmaceutical reps involved. I scheduled monthly clinic visits for them to come in to educate myself, being a non-RN, to educate my staff, the PCTs, RNs, to in-service them, and to also provide education to the patients. I mean, sometimes the patients hear it from us, you know, and it tends to go out one ear out the other, but We wanted the drug reps to put on luncheons and come into the waiting room and really talk with the patients. You know, do they understand anemia management? Do they understand how it affects them? Also, you know, we had this sort of issue with our iron. You know, we had heard if you use iron sucrose or certain irons, you know, you can get a high ferritin. And what we did was we switched to a more maintenance iron, and you know, that varies on what you need, 25 milligrams, 50 milligrams. And you'll see that we actually didn't have, notice a spike in ferritins when we did that. If anything, they started to decrease. And so really, you know, making sure you have proper iron management. And then also we just share the results with each other. We're a big team effort. We, you know, strive on each other's success. And so during meetings, I'd share results with who's got good sub-11s and different criteria. And they really took pride in that. And if they didn't meet goals, then they worked harder to meet them next month. So no picture is a rainbow. So I'm going to go over some problem areas, some areas where we have struggled. We're not immune to turnover, you know, having some inconsistencies in our sub-11s. But what I want to stress is that at least it's not consistently. I guess I see some clinics who have poor sub-11s just month after month with not much improvement. And so that's when I'd want to say, what do we need to do different? So with this clinic, you could see with a new protocol, it dipped down in early of 03, and then they started to increase. We had a new anemia manager. We lost a CD. We hired a new one. Then you have to take that time to train, to educate. Sub-11s came down. Turnover, had a new center director. Sub-11s went back up above 20%, and now they've come down from March of this year. So this is a good example of how, you know, not having a solid anemia manager who, you know, and having turnover can affect your sub-11s. And then with the high ferritins, you know, this is the same clinic. And so you would expect to see a spike, like you just saw with, you know, with this spike here of having sub-11. And with the ferritin, we don't see that. So we said, what does that mean? And so what we equated to is that hemoglobins are very difficult to manage. You know, we have so many factors of blood loss, hospitalizations that really affect the hemoglobin, and if you don't check them on a regular basis, we draw them weekly now, all hemoglobins, you know, you could have high results or high sub-11s. And here with the ferritin, we don't have that. And so what we equate that to is if you have a good protocol in place and you dose your iron appropriately, that you won't have a spike in ferritin. And this is a good example of the same clinic, and they've been below 20%. A ferritin greater than 800 only once, and that was March of last year. So this is another example of a clinic with hemoglobins. This clinic has a pretty stable staff. It's my largest clinic. You know, they've been above, you know, 20% sub-11 early last year. We came out with a new protocol, and they stayed pretty constant. But you could see with the Gambro came out with a new protocol this year, and they dramatically dropped. And so this is an example that even though you're doing all you should, sometimes your results are based on your protocol and how aggressively you use it, how well you use it. And this is just an example of that. And this is the same clinic. And this clinic is got great staff, have had RNs there 10 plus years for Gambro. And they had just this conception that the more iron you give, the better it is for them. And they were giving an iron maintenance of 100 milligrams a week. And they did this before I got there. And as you can see, when we started with them in December, you know, early last year, they had about 45 patients had a ferritin greater than 800. And it spiked up in June of last year to about 75%. And that's a lot of people. And then when we switched it and said, that's just too much iron. And we came up with a new protocol, and we started to give 25 to 50 milligrams of iron sucrose a week. You can see from June of last year to them just slowly the ferritin's decreasing. And so I just think it's a good representation of a maintenance dose will not really equate to high ferritins. And then these are two clinics that sort of represent the same. You know, they were giving 100 milligrams a week, and then they started to give 25 a week, saying, well, that is just too much iron, and slowly the ferritins have come down. And that is just as we didn't have the right protocol. I think we compared it to NSAID, where you could give 100 milligrams a week as a maintenance, and you can't do that with other drugs. You have to relook at that. And so for me, as a manager, I say, well, what is this going to do for my budget? Because, I mean, that is ultimately one of my focuses. And but what I didn't want to make that the only focus. I said, if we can have good patient outcomes, you know, good patient care, then the finances will be there. And so you can see, this is just an example of one clinic. You know, in December, they were barely meeting their iron budget. They weren't even meeting it, their iron budget. And then it just spiked up, and they've been meeting their budget ever since. So financially, from a financial management standpoint, you know, excellent NDD management equals good business results as well. So now that we've kind of painted this picture, you said, well, now what? You know, how do you continue to do it? And I've just continued to support my CDs. I've stressed to them that you need to make the time. And, you know, well, that sounds easier said than done, but I think as managers sometimes we feel the only way to get something done is for me to do it myself. And that isn't always the case. I think that, you know, certain tasks need to be delegated. I know my staff, the NDD managers, will make the dosing recommendations and then give it to an RN to put in the computer. I mean, that takes the longest amount of time to sit at the computer and put in orders. So it's things like that to maximize the staff you have and the time that you have to get things done. Also, we're trying to, you know, create a team approach and to minimize staff turnover. I know that seems impossible, especially with the RN shortage I'm sure all feel, but that's just extremely important to some of the slides I showed, that turnover can give you bad results. You know, make sure you've got the best protocols in place, that you understand the protocols and you feel comfortable with the protocols. Also, you know, get the training, get the drug reps in, have them provide lunches, everybody likes those, and the free gifts, and you know, have them educate staff, the patients, and the physicians. And also, you know, make sure your physicians are a part of the process. I mean, even if they're not involved, we still keep them, you know, in the loop. Again, drug reps, and we still actually, even though we've had them in many a times, drug reps still are involved in my clinics. The outcome directors, you know, are definitely part of our success and our process. And, you know, we're having AMI 1 and 2 meeting scheduled in 2 weeks, and I'm making all my CDs and NDD managers who have done them all before. I said, you know, just continue to go, just stay fresh and on top of everything. And I think a key success for us is that, you know, I'm sort of their cheerleader, you know, because medically, I mean, I enjoyed these presentations, but that's just way over my head. So I sort of just say, let's do it. So come on, guys, we can do this. You know, you're slipping. So I, you know, try to instill and empower them. Also, you know, we set goals. Last year, our goals was 20% sub 11. This year, it's 18% of our patients. You know, we also try to get that competitive edge. I put graphs up and show everybody where they stand. And overall, I mean, the main thing is staying positive and on top of everything. And that really is the key to success. And, you know, I know it sounds easier said than done, or God, that seems so basic, but, you know, if we all have the medical knowledge and you all know about anemia and iron, then how come all of our patients aren't healthy, and how come all of them don't have great sub-11 results, and how come all our clinics have, you know, at times have high sub-11s? Because I think that sometimes we can miss that focus and not take the time that we need and say, well, I've always done it this way, you know. So I think that we really need to look outside the box. So, and I thank you. And I think now that this has ended our presentation part, and we really encourage you all to have questions, and, you know, Dr. Van Wyk will be heading that process, and I thank you all.
This is a piece of information. You know that the FDA-approved dosing for IV iron products is 100 milligrams for iron dextran over 2 minutes, 100 milligrams iron sucrose over, is it 2 or 5 minutes? And ferric gluconate, 125 over 10 minutes. And that means that everything we do in CKD and PD, we tend to be outside FDA-approved limits. But there's lots of data on dosing in the literature.